June 15, 2014. It's a Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you.
for Pedro show.
Well, this is my microphone. Am I close enough to it, or do I got to move it closer?
No, you're good, man.
Okay.
Okay.
Brother Matt, welcome aboard.
Yeah.
We're here at the Love Grotto, Pleasure Point.
We've got a guest.
And we got a guest. In fact, guest already made himself a known.
Well,
welcome aboard, Manny Stadola. Started the show off with John Coltrane doing Up Against the Wall. Midnight, Sawako, and Today by Alley Cats. Welcome. Saw both you, Brother Matt and Randy, yesterday at the Shred Fest. No.
Shred.
What was it called? San Pedro Shred Festival of Skate.
That was cool. That was a very cool day.
It turned out to be very fucking happening. No fighting.
Mm.
Not a total mess and stuff. People kept things clean together. Kids, nobody got really hurt.
Yeah,
but took
fun.
The balls out. Shit, did you see that station wagon they were jumping? Fucking, it was pretty balls out. And then the bands, too, was interesting getting to play. And
that was real cool of them having D-Lou put the band part together.
Yeah, right.
He did it up
great
right.
Job.
Good job.
He ran it all good. And even though... I think Donald was supposed to bring an adapter, so no monitors, so he kind of had to thug that one out. But he did really good, kept it flowing. Pizzo played early.
Mm-hmm.
The councilman, we got to thank him for helping us out,
getting
that all going. Andy Harris, of course, San Pedro Skate Association. He was the key dude, and he was even fucking driving the forklifts to get the shit around and Beacon House people. And,
yeah, cool having a councilman help push that.
Yeah, right. Can you believe? And it was right here by the pack pad I've had for 29 years, people. It's the second one.
Yeah.
In fact, it's a trippy summer for me because last 10 years, I'm always in Europe doing the Stooges Festival, so it's a little different. Our guest, how long have you been living in Pedro now, Randy?
12 years.
12?
11, 12, yeah.
Let's turn you up a little bit. You got a little quiet thing, huh?
You got the sounds of Pedro in the background.
Yep. 12 years. Okay. Let's go back. Where were you born?
Laramie, Wyoming.
Wyoming, my mom. But she's on the west side. Huh. There's a town called Dines near Rock Springs.
Huh.
Laramie, Wyoming. I always go through Wyoming on tour because I between Salt Lake and... Laramie's, in fact, that's where the cutoff, if you want to get to Fort Collins quick, there's a U.S. highway. You want to go all the way to I-25. Can you remember the first musical experience?
Well, the first...
Like listening?
No.
I can't either, but I ask anyway.
The first concert I went to was a Louis Armstrong concert when I was like, I don't know, 10 or something.
10?
Yeah.
Was that in Laramie?
No, that we moved from Laramie. I don't even remember that. We moved to...
you don't remember Laramie, so no music, not even hearing the radio or TV?
No.
Okay.
No, it was in Marquette, Michigan.
Marquette, Michigan.
Yeah.
Which is...
Upper Michigan, yeah.
UP.
Yeah.
Upper Peninsula.
Yeah.
And you went and saw Louis Armstrong.
Yeah.
But before Louis, do you remember the radio or do you remember... some people say Ed Sullivan show, right?
Oh, yeah. I remember the radio a little bit,
hearing songs.
Yeah,
it's like some of the first things you can remember.
Yeah, I remember Bobby V was big in North Dakota.
Bobby V,
because Fargo, and I remember hearing Rubber Ball.
Before Market, you were in North Dakota.
Yeah, I lived for 7 years in Fargo, North Dakota.
Fargo. And Bobby V?
Yeah, I remember hearing him on the radio, Rubber Ball, yeah.
Okay.
Well, he was big because, you know, it was a long story, but what was it? Big Bopper, Ricky Valens, and who was the other person?
Buddy Holly.
They were supposed to play in Fargo, and they got killed in a...
Because they were in Iowa.
They got killed in a plane crash on the way.
Yeah,
and
they had played a gig in Iowa.
Yeah.
And it went to a lake, I think.
Yeah, and I think they had Bobby V or some... He was like a local kid sit in, and then,
okay.
So
yeah, and I heard like Waylon Jennings traded his seat or something.
Yeah, for one of the roadies.
He was playing bass.
He traded his seat for one of the roadies. Yeah, the roadie got killed, and he did.
Wow.
Waylon Jennings on bass, though. He'd be a cool cat to have in the band. So Bobby V's like the first kind of guy you... Do you remember the first record?
I didn't get a record till I moved.
Long time?
Till like we moved to probably California.
Okay.
And my dad used to take records out of the library and then tape them and he'd listen to classical music and Shakespeare music. And I took out a Hank Williams record and taped it. And then,
so you would get records from the library and then tape them.
Yeah, and then I
got... Then return the record, but then you'd have the tape.
Yeah, and I had a Chuck Berry album and...
Let's go back to Louis Armstrong. How'd that gig happen?
I don't know, it was in Marquette, Michigan, and he was on a tour. He must have been like 65 or something by then. And,
yeah.
You know, Marquette's only a town of 20,000 people, so it was probably 5,000 people there, so, you know, I guess it was worth its while, but I just went with my parents, you know, they went to see
They wanted to go and see
Yeah, yeah.
What'd you think?
Oh, it was great. You know, first concert.
Did you know what he was like before that?
Saw him on television. Okay. You know. Yeah.
So you were going to go to that concert when he died, or you?
No, I had no idea. I was pretty young. Yeah. What year did he die? Well, I don't even know. I don't even know what's going on there.
56 or 57, something.
So yeah, I wasn't living there yet.
Okay.
That was just a story I heard, you know.
And he was the local guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because I wish I could have been able to see Louis Armstrong.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what was he like?
It was, I don't know, he was...
Because in those days, probably not big sound system. He's just powering it with his
band. They had a pretty good sound.
Oh, so he played into a microphone?
Oh, yeah, they had it with the auditorium.
You said 5,000
Yeah,
people,
yeah,
so
yeah.
So it was a big gig.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you come to California.
Yeah.
And that's when the music thing kind of kicks in.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when I started
playing guitar when I lived in North Dakota.
How'd that happen?
My sisters got a guitar, and they were trying to learn folk guitar, and I just borrowed it.
Your sisters?
Yeah. And I was playing their guitar, and when we went to Upper Michigan, they went away to college, so I just taught myself.
Started playing without not really
having
records or music.
I had to kind of make up all my own songs. I had the chords from the chord book, so I just started making up my own songs.
You started writing right away.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You never copied.
I didn't have any way of copying.
Right. So you come to California ready?
Yeah, I guess sort of. Yeah.
And then you start. So maybe some of this Hank Williams.
Yeah, I did. I still do Your Cheating Heart
Looking when you start
and Jambalaya and you know. I remember Carol and Johnny Be Good and those songs.
Chuck Berry.
Yeah, those are the first songs I learned that wasn't my own songs.
Right.
You know.
And then the Carol, the Chuck Berry one or the Stones one?
It's Chuck Berry, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what, same thing? Checking out records at the library?
Yeah, yeah.
That's Econo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hear some more music.
All alone. One day, boy, don't you be no sweat. Step on all I want. You the world and you the spot. Everybody's a rock. Everybody in the hotel block. We're dancing to the house rock.
Well, if I knew, might as well have been midnight. Cold, third memory of the night before. Oh, oh. He took himself there on a lonely night, made his way to the ring, circled around it 12 times, was silent, didn't say a thing. Oh, the wheels are turning, the wheels of Ezekiel. The wheels of Ezekiel. If the devil comes in his dark robes and offers you a meal, be sure to know the price you'll pay and answer with a steady tongue. East and west, north and south, you can see for miles around. In the trees the birds will not sing, up on Chanctonbury Ring, up on Chanctonbury Ring. Oh, the wheels are turning, the wheels of Ezekiel. One means anger, two brings mirth, three for a wedding, four for a birth. Five is heaven, six is hell, but seven is the very devil himself. He took himself there on a lonely night, made his way to the ring, circled around it 12 times, was silent, didn't say a thing. East and west, north and south, you can see for miles around. In the trees the birds will not sing, up on Chanctonbury Ring, up on Chanctonbury Ring. Oh, the wheels are turning, the wheels of Ezekiel, burning in the night sky. The wheels of Ezekiel, the wheels of Ezekiel.
And know what it feels, it's worth the deal.
Show. We heard Jailhouse Rock, something live from The Mask, Alley Cats, then something brand new from The Gears, the new version of The Gears. Axel and Kid's still in it.
Yeah.
Down in the Basement. Then Dirty Beaches after that with Ride to Nowhere, A Wheel in the Rain by Cuz. It's a new album. I have to be part of. Nothing Means Nothing Anymore, live from the Erg movie, Alley Cats. Dot Hacker with Elevator, Lipstick Destroyer from Tobacco. Theme from Cold Cock Trio, that's Bucky from the old, Wisconsin, but Madison. And finally, Licorice Cats, live, Alley Cats, which I always thought was Licorice Girls, but Randy enlightened me to the fact that's only sung in the first line. And, of course, it's actually Licorice Cats, not Licorice Girls. All these, it was over 30 years. You've demystified that.
You know, it might be the Licorice. I haven't really heard the song for a while.
Okay.
It might be the chorus, it might be the Licorice Girls, I don't know.
But the title, you
Licorice
know.
Licorice Cats, yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's good. Okay, so that guitar from Michigan. It traveled to California, or did you get another?
No, I got this. I actually started out with a dobro. I got from actually one of the brothers. You know, my parents knew him somehow, and I bought a dobro, but then it got stolen. So I got used an insurance money.
Oh, you had a dobro?
Yeah, I sat with a dobro.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't a metal dobro. It was a wood dobro with a little metal. You know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Resonator.
Del Piero brothers or something. One of them. Yeah. And then,
what made you choose that than the regular guitar?
I don't know.
How old were you at that time?
Probably 12.
12 years old, yeah. And you picked a dobro.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty. Yeah. I didn't even know what fucking dobro was when I was 12. So that's, but it got stolen, huh?
Yeah.
So you're talking about that Telecaster?
Yeah, about the Telecaster with the
You got that same one, like 12 years old or 13 years?
No, I got the Telecaster when was probably like, I was probably like 16 or something.
16.
Yeah.
But people, this is, he's still got the same guitar.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody like that that's got the same guitar. Yeah. Your first electric guitar?
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. I'm glad nobody stole that.
No.
Fucking peckers. Donate. Okay, so you must have got an amp.
Yeah, I got a little Carbon amp.
There was Carbon back then, even.
Yeah.
The company's been around.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
And then eventually I sold
it. What are you doing? Like just jamming in the bedroom, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
To records? Because you ain't got a band yet.
No, oh no, I started playing with the I actually started playing with the band before I got the Telecaster. Playing
with the Dobro, you were playing with some guys. Yeah. What, like from school?
Yeah, yeah. Some friends, yeah.
In what, like garage?
Yeah, yeah,
just
yeah.
Jamming?
Yeah. We had a drummer and a bass player. And,
oh, really?
Yeah. We did a few shows, actually.
Wow. So what, you like 13, 14, 15?
I was pretty young, yeah.
You're doing gigs.
Mm.
What was it like? Was it covers in originals?
And originals, yeah. And
the what first was the name of the band?
Hubcaps. The first club I played, I was like, it was a club, it was called the Chatterbox in South L.A.
Chatterbox, South L.A.
Yeah.
Damn. What was it like? What year?
Probably early 70s. And
early 70s.
Yeah. And it was...
What was it like to do your first gig?
Well, it was weird because it turned out... See, I couldn't even get a job at a car wash. So this guy was advertising in the newspaper. He was like an agent, right? So I called him and I said, well, I've never played anywhere and my age and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, he says, well, don't call me. I'll call you, right? And he called me this night and goes... You know, you can go up to this club and do a show, you know. Apparently what they did is they fired the band, you know, because they were mad because the audience came in, didn't buy any drinks or anything. And they wanted to get the people to leave, so the guy thought I'd be a good... Because it's like black people and stuff, and then I said I'd do like some country stuff, and he thought I'd be a good person to like drive people out so they could...
But, Paul Raker.
Yeah, but it didn't work out that way, and they hired me, and I played every night, like six nights a week.
Really?
Yeah. And it was like my first experience. And
fuck, you're going to, what, junior high? High school?
16, so.
Okay. Oh, because you got the Telecaster by this time.
No, yeah.
You still doing the Dobro?
I think I had the Telecaster by then, yeah.
Okay. So you're in high school and you're playing six nights a week.
Yeah, and they're getting drinks. And the funny thing is because I was getting a percentage of the door, so people buy me a drink, I'd make some money. So the more drinks they bought me, the more money I'd make, right? So I had to, like, drink as much as I could, but, like, act like I was a drunk so people wouldn't stop buying me drinks. So that's got a lot of practice.
That's some technique.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, playing sharp must get a little more difficult. You think?
Yeah.
A little more barrage. Okay, that's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens with the Hubcaps?
I just decided to start another band, and I was looking for a bass player. By then I'd met Diane. I'd met her giving a guitar lesson. I was like...
Oh, you started teaching?
Yeah, I was like 18. So, I brought home a bass because I couldn't find...
What happened to Hubcaps? They just kind of fell apart, or...?
I quit.
Oh, you quit them?
Yeah. No.
Did they keep going?
No. Nah, I mean, the people in the band kept going, but not...
Not as Hubcaps.
Yeah, yeah.
So Hubcaps dissolved when you quit.
Yeah.
Then you met Diane, and you start Alleycats. Oh, you're teaching.
Yeah.
And one of your students.
Yeah, and then... Well, I was living with her at the time, eventually, like, not really quickly.
And you start the Alleycats.
Yeah. Well, I was looking to start the Alleycats, and I brought home a bass, you know, because I thought if I figured it out, maybe it'd be easier for me to find who I wanted, you know.
If you knew how to play bass,
yeah.
You could pick a bass player that you'd like.
Yeah, and I came home one day, and I heard her playing bass. I guess she was secretly learning how to play bass, and it sounded great. So we started a band, and started our first show.
What, a drummer?
Oh, we took the drummer from the Hubcaps.
So John was the...
No, it wasn't. It was a guy named Ray Jones.
Ray Jones.
Yeah, John was our second drummer, really.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got...
We thought it was another guy briefly, but he broke his leg or something, and, you know.
Kind of tough.
Yeah.
But you took the Hubcap drummer. He's the one guy from the other band
that
went with you. Okay. And then the Outcast. Do you remember the first Outcast gig?
It could have been... It could have been, forgot the name of the club. It was a little, like, biker bar. I'm not really sure, actually, because we did a lot of
shows. Is this when you were in Lomita?
Yeah, we were living in Lemita then, yeah.
Yeah. When you came to California, what part did you move to?
Well, we briefly stayed in Gardena, mm-hmm. then we moved to Torrance, and then we moved to Redondo.
So you've always been South Bay guy?
Yeah.
But this club was in South LA.
Yeah, yeah.
Chatterbox, okay.
Yeah, we lived...
So this biker bar, what was it? Was it Lemita or somewhere local?
Yeah, it was in Harbor City,
I think. Okay.
Yeah, maybe it was in...
People who don't know South Bay of SoCal, these are towns right next to Pedro.
Yeah.
Pedro, of course, we're on the end, right? There's the ocean. Then next to us is the hill.
Mm.
But north of us is Harbor City. To the east is Wilmington, Long Beach.
Mm.
Northwest of us is Lemita
mm.
and Torrance, Redondo Beach, what Randy's talking about. Mm. So, because I'm telling you people this because this is one of the things that attracted me and Dee Boone to the Alley Cats because there was no other bands from the South Bay
up
in the scene. And
no, there weren't any.
It was trippy for us. Mm. Like, wow, these are, from our parts. Mm. So, how long did the Hubcap drummer last?
Because
I never saw him.
Not that long.
Okay. Do you do any of the mass gigs?
No, that was all John McCarthy.
That's all John.
Yeah. Okay.
How did you... Obviously, the punk scene was coming on. How did you hear about it?
We actually... We were playing around the South Bay and not getting anywhere. And then the Whiskey was a big club then because they were unlike the way it is now. And they were like... There weren't any live. It was like the Starwood, the Whiskey... The Roxy, that was pretty much it for all the rock clubs in L.A. that had an original band. The Tubular had cover music. Gazarzak, yeah. Everybody had went to cover. And I found out that the booking agent was there when the bands do their sound check, like in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So we packed up all our equipment and went up and asked if we could do an audition. And they go, well, and the sound guy goes, well, do you have a record? And I go, no. Do you have management? And I go, no. I go, the Whiskey, we have people with, like, records management, you know, record deals, this and that. We don't just audition people to play here, you know. And I go, well, go ask the guy. And he comes back, and the guy goes, no, you know. So I come back the next day with all our equipment. And we ask the same thing, right?
It's the same guys are there?
And then it's the same sound guy. Yeah. And he goes up, and he goes, no, you gotta have like management or something like that, you know. So we go back the third day in a row, right? And the guy goes, you guys have like a really big following or you're really good? I mean, why do you want to audition here, you know? And I go, well, no, we don't have really any following and we're probably not that good. We want to, like, play here. So he comes back and goes, well, okay, come back tomorrow, and the guy will audition you, you know? So we play, and we've gotten a style of playing super fast because we weren't that good, and we were doing originals and covers, and it caused kind of a whatever for a lot of people to come for a short time. You know, those are the days of cover bands playing all night for weeks and weeks. So we'd play, like, one weekend or two before it, like, drop off. You know, and so we played really fast, and we did my own songs, and the guy goes, well, you know, that sounds kind of like punk rock. That's a new thing, you know? And
that's where you heard it. You heard it from the club guy.
Yeah, yeah, and then he put this on the show with the Berlin Brass.
Rick.
Yeah, yeah, and then some guy, Andy, was here, and he said, well, the mask is, you know, they done one show. They didn't charge for anything, and, you know, it was just like kind of a, we're going to have like a real show and charge to cover thing and stuff, and he asked us to play.
Yeah.
And so we did. And
who told you about the mask?
Some guy that came to the
one of the gig goers.
Yeah, at the Whiskey. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Say, there's this other place that's having gigs.
Yeah.
And so you went over there.
And yeah, we did probably the first real show there ever, maybe the second official show. I don't know if the
because there's a practice pad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
We played with the Germs and the Skulls and Needles and Pins, and we stuck our flyers up all over Hollywood.
I remember Needles.
We stuck all these flyers up all over Hollywood, you know, for the show, you know, and a lot of people came, and that was pretty much the beginning of it.
So it was kind of just an accident.
Yeah.
By you pushing yourself onto the whiskey show, and then some cat coming to the gig.
Yeah. We being the guy thinking we sound punk. He said, you know, but you look like you're homeless. You gotta like dress up, you know. And I wore the same thing that, you know, my old pants I got from Goodwill and my t-shirt that I did for the, you know, and people didn't seem to mind. I don't know. I think he was showing me pictures like we went backstage. He was showing me pictures like the weirdos and stuff.
Oh, the crazy kind of
stuff. Yeah, and he didn't want us to look like that. And we didn't want to, so we didn't.
You know, when I remember seeing you guys, t-shirt.
Mm.
That was your look.
Mm.
T-shirt.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe I didn't know where the pants came from. Yeah, they probably wasn't the most boost pad.
Mm.
It was kind of like simple. It was like not genre specific.
Mm. Mm.
You know, you had to listen
mm.
to know what the music is mm. like. You mm. couldn't tell.
Mm.
Like, in fact, when I found out about punk, that's all I knew was the pictures. I didn't know what it sounded like.
Mm.
Oh yeah, we saw these pictures of guys dressed real crazy.
Mm.
But then I found out, actually, every band, especially in those days, a lot of unique sounds.
Mm.
People were talking about the days of Screamers and Nervous Gender. There was a lot of different ways to
Deadbeat.
They didn't even have guitar. Well, Deadbeat had Giza with a tiny guitar.
Yeah.
Invented or made, right?
Yeah,
that little guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
The strange chords. Yeah. I mean, it was... punk wasn't one style at first. It was just wild.
No.
Like every band tried their own version of it. Some people dressed up, Some people were almost all clothes.
Mm.
Some people were all music. It was trippy. Like, I would say Alley Cats were a little less the clothes thing and more music thing.
Yeah, the McCrimes used to dress up all in police
uniforms. Right, police?
Yeah.
I remember those guys.
Yeah.
I think they were from North.
Though. Yeah, San Francisco.
Right. Crime. Hotwire My Heart, I think was their song. Yeah, can you imagine that? Dressing like cops? I don't know. I don't know about that. But so, you ended up playing a lot at The Mask.
Yeah.
And,
We got shows at the Whiskey.
But you guys didn't move to Hollywood. You stayed in Lomita, in the South Bay. I remember talking to Brendan about those days and you guys. He said you guys were the nicest people to work with. He said some people in the scene were not too nice to work. He said you guys were really nice to work.
He was a nice guy.
He really was.
Yeah.
He really was. Brendan Mullen was his cat. Who ran this club and he ended up doing the Club Lingerie after
that.
He did another version on Santa Monica Boulevard and then he did the Club Lingerie. And you know, he always had this prod he wanted for me to be. He wanted to be a producer and have me play with different people around town to make an album.
Mm.
And he'd be the drummer and the producer.
Mm.
Fuck, I wish I would have been able to do that with him.
Mm.
I think it was his 60th birthday. What's it called? Aneurysm?
Oh, aneurysm, yeah.
Something blew up in his head.
Oh, on his birthday?
On his 60th
birthday.
Oh. Yeah, very sad. Good cat. Brendan Mullen.
Hmm.
And you didn't even have to, you just said, can we play? You didn't have to, like, bring your equipment?
No, because we played at the,
Mass.
Yeah, no. Because we played at this punk bill at the Whiskey and the Whiskey.
And Brendan saw it.
No, he didn't see it, but people told him about it, you know.
Okay. But still, it was very cool of him to have you on board with that.
Yeah.
See him.
Hmm.
Right, the guy who told you.
I think all the other bands were probably practicing there. So we were like the draw, I guess, or sort of. I don't know if you can call it that. Because we were playing at the Whiskey.
It was the gig goer guy who told you to dress up. He's the.
No, that was the manager of the Whiskey told us to dress up.
Oh, it was the manager.
Yeah, not the manager, the booking agent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
he was the guy who was showing the...
I thought he was a gig-goer.
No, he was the guy...
Hold up. We're at the end of the first hour. Yeah. We're going to talk a lot more. June 15th, 2014, this WAP Pedro show with Randy Stadola here. Brother Matt?
Yeah.
Hold tight for hour two! June 15th, 2014. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Let's go.
Watt for Pedro show started hour two off with Too Much Junk by the Alley Cats. Then we had Wash by Sayido Koji. Henry Texier after that with Les La Paz. The Wood Song, Bertram Turetsky and Damon Smith. And finally, something live from the Alley Cats, One More Chance to Survive. And our guest, Randy Stadola, is in the... Is he in the head?
Went for a smoke or went to the head, one or the other.
I think he got done puffing, and I believe now he's pissing. Brother Matt, you got a Hawaii trip coming?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Hitting up some Maui pretty soon.
Some Maui Wowie?
That'll be cool. I got...
It's coming up in less than a week, right?
In about my friend Saavedra, he just retired from Pedro High.
Sure.
And the All-Star...
He's been on the show, right?
I think so.
Tony.
Yeah, so he's coming up to... The All-Star game's coming up for Major League Baseball. Every team gets to pick a teacher.
Yeah.
It's All-Star teacher. He's one of the finalists for the Dodgers.
Damn.
So next week I'm going to be going to the Dodger game. He gets to throw out the first pitch.
Yeah.
And then if he's selected, he gets to go to the All-Star game out in Minnesota.
Really?
So, so that's pretty exciting.
Talking about throwing the pitch, I guess 50 Cent didn't do too good.
Oh, my God. Yes, I throw him. Got to practice a little bit first.
You know, the dude's pretty built.
Yeah, man.
But just maybe baseball is... I'll tell you this. When I was in Pedro High, and the Slav guys had come over and never touched a baseball, right? They're soccer guys. And, you know, you got to be trained. You got to... It's just not natural. They would throw the ball like a girl. Everybody would be laughing. They'd get so mad. Because these guys, they were actually great athletes. You know, they start doing the soccer kicks with the little baseball. Hacky sack kind of shit.
Hell yeah.
But they could not. And they swing the bat like a girl. I mean, you totally have to be trained. So maybe 50 Cent never played much ball.
Wrong ball for him.
And I remember that. There's two things I remember. And the Italian guys, too, from Ischia. That, the no baseball thing and totally no soccer.
Yeah.
And then no Levi's. Their jeans were always these trippy kind of... Well, they weren't made by... I don't know where they were made. Maybe we would say that, maybe.
Wow.
But they'd be different colors patched together. You know, it was designs, but...
Partridge Family.
It was still denim, but it wasn't... Because in those days, all denims were Levi's. So they had these brands, I don't know what kind of fucking things... Wranglers Lee. They were more Euro styles.
Yeah.
They'd have different tones of denim and shit. Anyway, we're talking about real important shit, Randy. So you didn't miss anything. Getting back to your first Alley Cat gigs. Where'd that lead to?
Well, we want...
Because I remember
we
getting
to make a lot of money, and we didn't make a lot of money at shows. So
yeah.
We started, became the Johnny Appleseed of punk all over L.A., you know, we actually went to Gazzari's and were the first original band to play there in ages, you know.
Gazzari's people now is called the Key Club. It was an old man named Bill Gazzari ran this.
Yeah.
And what he told us was only foxy guys play his stage.
Yeah.
Because we tried to play there. Yeah. He would set up all the bands. Did you do it where they set up all the bands and move the PA?
Yeah. We were playing upstairs, and all the other bands were cover bands, and we were doing the same set we did at the Whiskey.
Okay.
You know, and then we did Under the Pier.
Yeah.
And we did...
That's like Dondo.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And we did the Moose Lodge with the Black Flags for a show.
That's for Black Flags first gig, and that's in the...
And
that's Torrance.
Yeah. You know it's going to be Dondo.
Is it Dondo?
You Dondo, yeah.
It's kind of near each other.
And then we're supposed to play the Star...
It's PCH, right?
Yeah. Supposed to play the Star Club and
That's Torrance.
No, that...
That's still Dondo, too?
Tampico.
Because that... Oh, that was Star Club.
Theater.
Star Theater.
Yeah.
Right.
And we stick a flyer all over the place.
D. Boone started putting gigs on there.
Yeah.
He called it for you, and that building's torn down.
They right before the show, they said that... Star Theater canceled. They said if we played there, they'd lose their insurance. So they moved at the last minute. They had signs to the boys. What was it? The King Club or something, wherever that was.
Kedra?
Yeah. A
little
team club.
Oh.
Yeah, we played with, and then.
That team post.
Yeah, Black Flag, and then.
Right, and us.
Ascendants for a show, and.
And Reactionaries.
No, we played with you guys in Long Beach. I think
that too. But this team post, we played with you too. It was the Descendants' first gig.
Yeah.
Black Flag with Keith still. Yeah. I think it was like their second or third gig.
Yeah,
and you guys, and I think Plugs might have been on the bill
too.
Plugs. Yeah, we were called Minutemen. We were called Reactionaries.
Yeah.
And we had a fourth guy.
Yeah.
And the cops had to lock everybody in because the neighbors.
Yeah, actually, the cops came. They were going to shut it down. I talked them out of it.
Yeah, but the neighborhood started getting rowdy because some kid from Hollywood had a white right. He had a Clash name of a Clash song on his jacket. And, you know, it's a minority. They didn't know about punk. And you want a white riot?
Yeah.
We had to change our name after that gig. That gig was very notorious for San Pedro. Yeah. In fact, we got the gig because Black Flag was handing out flyers.
Yeah.
And we couldn't believe they were going to try to do a punk gig in Pedro.
Yeah.
And they said, why is that? And they said, because we're from Pedro. They couldn't believe there was a Pedro punk band. So they asked us to open up. It was just like that. Remember the old days with punk? It was so small that if somebody was into it,
you
could trust them.
Yeah.
And that's how we got on. And then the next year, we end up SSTOO2.
Yeah. Right.
Just because of that meme. Now, your first record is a Danger House record.
Yeah.
And these are mass people, right? David Brown.
David Brown and Black Randy.
Yeah. And how'd this happen?
They came to our shows.
And they asked you, hey, can we put out a single by you?
Yeah.
And we were talking a little bit about this yesterday. You recorded at a place called
The Kitchen Sink.
Which was an 8-track.
Yeah.
And you recorded 3 songs?
Yeah.
Was that the first time the Alley Cats went in the studio?
Yeah.
Was it your first time ever in the studio?
Yeah, we used to record ourselves at home.
Yeah. And did you do it all in one night?
We did it all in like a few hours.
A few hours?
4 hours, and you clean the mixing and everything.
Mixing and the whole deal. That's how we made our first one, was record mixing at one time.
Yeah.
That record sounds really good. People, the first single is Danger House, is Nothing Means Nothing Anymore, and the other song was Give Me a Little Pain. Yeah. And then I found out yesterday that the third song was Too Much Junk, which came out later on the Yes LA compilation. And they're really good sounding stuff. We'll play more of it on the show here. We're coming to the part of the show now where you're going to collaborate with Brother Matt and Spin Cycle.
Okay.
Hey, you don't be afraid. Duerme y tú voy en este la minuto tu la querida yurkar. Then you can start to make it rain. So let it out and let it in. Let you refrain. Don't carry that word upon your shoulder. But what you know that is a fool to play by making his war. A little golden, da 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 da
da da da da da da da da da da. Thank you.
Circular vortex. Never know what we're going to get on that one. Yeah, very cool. Thank you. Thank you.
What was your inspiration? What was your motivation?
Start off with that little inspiration from Brother Dale with the Bracho guy doing Hey Jude. That started it off. And then just tried to lay a little something exotic down for Randy to do his thing over.
Randy, did you have any influences on guitar? Did you listen to any guitars when you were coming up?
Well, I got a Wes Montgomery album and Tyler Knockers, and I like.
You think that had like?
Oh yeah, and I like also I like, you know, Johnny Cash and the Tennessee Three. I learned to play a little tat chords and stuff.
Yeah,
and
right.
And you know.
What about with lead guitar?
I like Robbie Robertson from the band, but okay. One of the reasons why I write my own songs is easier than to do than other people's songs. So, and I figured I'd never be that great at guitar, so I tried to figure out like different like sounds and stuff. And
okay.
Ways of playing. So
find your own style.
At least I'd be unique anyway.
Sure. Let's hear some Outkast.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Pete Rose Show. We heard some Alley Cats here. You just heard Give Me a Little Pain, B-side of the first single. And before that was Grandpa Don't Know GMO by Gigi Band, so Busan, Korea. And then started all off with The Hotel by Alley Cats. I didn't know this song, The Hotel, Randy.
Huh?
Did you ever play The Hotel live?
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't remember ever hearing that song at a gig. Maybe it was a later down the road?
Yeah, with our second album.
Okay. Man, there's some feedback. We got to figure this out. But anyway, it's the end of the second hour, June 15, 2014, Dishwaffle Peter Show. Hold tight for hour three. Special guest, Randy Stadol. June 15th, 2014. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
In the dark with sailors, fireflies. Let me search. said it came. Loom of creatures run through the display. Chasing a star like never again. Stretching the star of the evil rain. They question authors in the search. What has failed? How much is it worth? They cannot be saved from this eternal curse. Escape with me! I'm the fire. With me, the pentagram, in the dark of night, that I was too cool. Escape with me from everything I heard. Escape with me, I'm the fire.
Show started off the third hour with some more Alley Cats. And one I never saw live, Breath of a Barfly. What? Breath of a Barfly, what's that about, Randy? Randy?
Huh?
Breath of a Barfly. Come on in here.
Okay, come on in.
Yeah, sit over here. Breath of a Barfly.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing you guys play this song.
Yeah, we did that a little bit too. Okay. We had a lot of songs by then. We had two albums, so.
Yeah, right, right.
Because
I remember the old batch that was played at a lot of gigs.
Yeah.
And then we heard Prophecy, something new from Chrome. Helios Creed is back.
Huh.
The drummer guy's gone, but Helios got a new version of the Chrome. And that's Prophecy, brand new. Carbon Date Shed, also brand new from God in Hackney. Familia Miranda with Walter. There's some cool people in Barcelona that are Chile people.
Yeah.
And put on my gig there with Missing Man, Third Opera. Cocked at their pad. Really good cats.
Yeah.
Rodrigo and his little collective. They got stuff going on. You know about that over there when they take over buildings, right? Make artists things out and stuff. Something that doesn't happen here.
Yeah.
And finally, Escape from the Planet Earth. Live from your practice pad.
Yeah,
I found this on the LubeDude.com thing.
Well, they tracked it up and it was cool. Yeah.
Let's get into this. So you started recording in your practice.
Yeah, we.
You had one of them little. They had little reels, right?
Yeah, we had. No, we had the Fostex A-track.
Oh, the Fostex.
Yeah.
Somebody I knew, maybe it was Billy. They had one of these Tascams that had little reels.
Oh wow.
Or maybe Watson had it.
Yeah.
Somebody had it, but it was so trippy.
Oh.
And it was an A-track. Anyway, after the Danger House stuff, you guys recorded again.
Yeah.
And you're playing all over. You hadn't toured yet, though, right?
We toured at some point, I think.
Actually,
yeah.
You did an early tour, because you told me about Bob Dylan coming to...
Yeah, we started touring pretty early.
Yeah.
When we did the Earth thing, we were on tour. And that was like 79, I think.
People, there was a movie called Erg. I think it was something for IRS Records to get all their artists or somebody. But they had other bands, too.
Yeah.
And Yeah, didn't you have to make some kind of fucking hell ride?
Yeah, I think we either came from Houston or Kansas City, because, you know, and we got there just in time for, like, the show. We didn't do a sound check or anything, and we had slept for days. So.
That's it, because you look a little relaxed.
Yeah.
You're all beat, whatever you want to say. But didn't you tell me, what's it, Bob Dylan, was it
Minneapolis? Oh, yeah, in Minneapolis, yeah.
He came to see him play.
Wow. Yeah. Bitchin'.
Yeah, and he helped us move equipment. He carried my guitar and invited us over to his place, but we had to make it up to play in Winnipeg, which we barely made because they stopped us at the border and searched our car for 3 hours.
Oh, man.
We got there right before we were supposed to go on.
Another one of those.
Yeah.
So, Bob Dylan fucking slept your shit.
Yeah, he was real nice, yeah.
Wow.
Bitching.
He didn't have a guy do it. He did it.
Huh.
Right?
What? Oh, yeah, McCann. Yeah.
Most booze dudes have a dude. That's Cap. Yeah. Did he talk to you before? Was it after the gig?
Yeah, after the show, yeah.
Did you know he was there when you were playing?
No.
Wow.
He was just in the audience. His kid told us about the band. And,
okay.
And wanted to see us.
Wow.
He talked to me about, you know, how he needed to get better musicians for his next album, and he likes playing with friends, but that sometimes that's not always the best idea. And yeah,
you know what? He had some of Tito's guys.
Later, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. Remember Tony, I think?
Yeah.
And maybe Chalo, too, on the drums.
Yeah.
Guys from the Plugs, you know, Cruzados.
Yeah.
For a little while.
Yeah.
Wow. So he says it's not always a good idea to just play with your friends.
But he likes to play with his friends. But he likes to play with his friends. Idea, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I've only seen him once, and it was like 5-6 years ago. Yeah. He was wearing a mariachi outfit. He played no guitar.
Yeah,
only a keyboard
yeah.
and a harp.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of trippy. He sideways, never turned towards us.
Oh, wow.
Sideways the whole time. And the band was dressed all in the same, like, kind of Blues Brothers.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it was kind of bizarre. It's one of the big festivals in Maryland. Actually, where they do the Preakness. At racetrack.
Yeah, just got some action.
What's that thing played? I can't remember the name of the track, but that's where they run that fucking thing. Yeah. Randy, you want to play acoustic sing first?
Okay, can I stand up or that can't? Oh, I guess I could sit down. I'm used to standing up, but.
Whatever you want.
Well, can you pick up my voice a little
bit? It's right there.
Oh, so if I'm standing up, I'm still okay?
Probably can.
Yeah. Oh, try a little bit.
Make yourself comfortable.
Try it, yeah. You know, here at the Love Grotto, it's flexible.
Just start singing. It was cold sand blossoms in the falling rain. It was Shakespeare and portrait and the crying gate. It was first Thursday in August and it was Halloween. She was the cutest mad scientist I've ever seen. It was Elf, Scott, and Zelda in a drunken dream. They was frozen in time like a whole magazine. It was so hard for me to see what was true then would not always be. Oh, but hey, before you walk away, tell me what it is that you really want to say. Hey, you know that it's true. Oh, make me feel in the world I already do. Hey, it would be not you that ruined my life. It would be not you that
just wasn't right. It was me, not you, that made it so rough. But it was you, not me, that finally had enough. Oh, but hey, before you walk away, tell me what it is that you want to say. Hey, hey, you know that it's true. Oh, make me feel it was, I already do. Oh, but babe, you know what, just can't drive. I'm so easy. You know it just ain't right. It just ain't right. I'm so crazy. Oh, you're baby. Tell me what it is that you really want to say. Hey, hey, you know that it's true. Oh, it made me feel that it was already true.
Me, not you.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, these are all good people.
Yeah, very cool.
Righteousness, accompanied by the tailpipes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that a new guitar?
Yeah, some Facebook friend. Nice person sent it to me from New York.
Righteous.
When I heard my other guitar got stolen, I froze away.
Somebody went into your vehicle, right?
Yeah.
I remember that. Not too long ago.
No.
Packers.
Damn.
And you still got the old baby.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
That guitar sounds so good. This guy, he's coming along. Hummingbird.
Yeah. That's what kicks. I got the wrong kick.
Here, let's hear some more Outcasts.
and Dick Russ. Torpedo, whoa, whoa, whoa. Tommy Armour, Buzzy Zelber, Corey Payton, Tom Weisskopf, Smiley Mako, Billy Casper, Gary Baker, Seve Ballestero, whoa.
and thank you very much, Dumbasses.
Night of the Living Dead, Alley Cats. Does that have something to do with the movie?
No.
Remember that movie?
Yeah.
I mean, the first one, you know?
Yeah.
Black and white, Kenny Cano. Scary. Scary movie. And that freaked me out. Lemon Limes after that with Buick International. South Oaks, Keep Your Judgment Day. The Aftermath by Zombie Crash. And finally, Just an Alley Cat by Alley Cats. So, to the story of the band, you do a couple albums. You guys did tour early.
Mm.
You and Black Flag, you know. Mm. I'm thinking about Southern California bands. A lot of bands didn't tour in those days. Mm. You guys did, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Flag, and that's where we learned it. Huh, a lot of the Hollywood bands, they just played Hollywood.
Yeah.
And you're right, even in Southern California, they just played up there. You were the Johnny Appleseed. You went to the other pads.
Yeah.
Not just...
we did the first Hong Kong Cafe show.
Yeah, right. And that, in fact, that turned into a whole scene.
Yeah.
Because there was something going on at Madame Wong's, but She was like, it was more of a kind
we
of
we played the second show there, and then she banned us.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I think I saw Bag's gig there with us. She stops the gig.
Yeah.
And says, you guys don't know how to play, and I don't want you playing here.
Really, yeah.
She was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
So bands could play at Madame Wong's, they couldn't play at the Hong Kong and vice versa.
That was a trip, huh?
Yeah, when that we were playing at the Hong Kong Cafe and the police were playing across the way at Madame Wong's.
Yeah, Sting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that, they all came in a little big white van and all the equipment and the whole band.
They didn't have
across, showing across America, yeah.
They didn't play in a policeman outfit, though.
No.
That was crap. No, but they had, like, bleached hair.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
They were England guys.
Yeah.
But Hong Kong was a good place to see bands, yeah. Man. I saw a lot of good gigs there. Carlos Catarlos, that's where I met him. Mm-hmm. He was the doorman.
Yeah, they invited us. We had the first show there, and we invited the Bags to play with us, and I don't know if there was anybody else. I forgot. And then he asked if I knew any other bands. So I gave him a whole list of like punk bands and their phone numbers, and he called them all and booked them, and that was the first month there, and that was pretty much what happened.
Yeah, it turned into a whole scene. Yeah. For a while there, that's where all the gigs were. Yeah. It was a good pad. I saw a lot of good gigs there. That Drove Up From Pedro song is about one of those gigs. Yeah. It was New Year's. Maybe it was 1980. And X was going to play with Devo.
Really?
At the Long Beach Arena, big like rock show.
Yeah.
And then Germs played with Joanna Wen at Hong Kong Cafe, and it was kind of the test.
Yeah.
Like, what gig were you going to go to?
Yeah.
And I went to the Germs gig. Me and Joe Baez did. Because it's in that tune, you follow the words in that tune. And I accidentally ate L. I freaked out, left Joe Baez at the Tommy Cafe. Well, I remember he got some eggs, and they came, and they were the sunny side up kind. And the white whites and the yellow yolks was too much weight for my brain to take, so I had to flee, brother man. Yeah, my Volkswagen Bug. And I get there in the 4-level interchange, and it was too much. I couldn't tell what level the boat was on, so I just pulled over on the side of the road and just sat there like for hours. No cops came, nothing. Just there, you know, the whole burning like a light bulb. It was an intense time for me. But you guys go on to do some more recordings.
Yeah.
Right, the albums.
Yeah, we did two albums as the Alley Cats. And
then you changed your name.
Yeah, I, at the time I was saying I wanted...
Because there was a problem with, like...
No, I wanted to weed out the Less Committed.
Oh. No, but I thought there was a problem with Alley Cats, the idea of it. One time you were telling me... Any minute, at that time, Cats meant you were a rockabilly band.
Well, no. But
of course, you guys weren't a rockabilly.
Stray Cats got big around that.
Right.
But that wasn't why we changed the name,
It was to weed out...
The Less Committed,
The Less Committed.
Everybody thought I was crazy, and I probably was.
Zarkon, it came from some movie?
No, I just made the word up.
You just made it up. Yeah. It sounds like it's from, like, some...
Yeah, I just want a God-sounding name, okay.
And it had nothing to do with Alley Cat sounding rock and roll. Because I remember there was more than just... wasn't there a Cats band? I think they were just called the Cats.
I don't know, it could be.
In SoCal at that time, they were kind of power pop.
There was some kind of punk band called the Wildcats.
No, these guys were more remember they called power pop? It was kind of a wave thing.
Like 2020.
New Cats, something Cats.
I have no idea. Okay. I probably even know about them.
It's no Greg Loss. Okay, no Greg Loss. I accidentally saw him and I was like, I was a big fan of the wave power pop. So you changed your name to Zarkon, but then you also keyboards.
That was the second Zarkon album. The first Zarkon album was just the original Alley Cats.
It's just the Alley Cats with a different name.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about people coming to the shows.
Well, just buying records.
Them out.
Yeah.
Because everybody in the band stayed.
Yeah.
Because the second version, you add other people.
Yeah. Well, the keyboards and had a different drummer by then.
Right. And then maybe, the brother guy, right?
Yeah, Kerry Cooley, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then Free was in on the second album, too.
That's right, Free to Rente, Fellow San Pedro.
Cool.
Yeah. Do you want to play us another song?
Okay, yeah, I guess so.
Please, please.
Should I do the original or should I do Your Cheating Heart? I'll do Your Cheating Heart.
Yeah.
My song.
Hank Williams.
First song, one of the first songs I learned.
Okay. Yeah. From that record tape from the library.
Yeah. Take a drink of whiskey here.
Yeah, very cool.
Classic.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Righteous. I don't remember ever seeing you play acoustic.
I didn't really play acoustic until I got the... I had an acoustic, but it got broken.
Okay.
I played it a little bit. I played it on the last album, the Shotgun's album, on a few songs.
Okay. Wow. You like acoustic?
It's okay.
You like telly better?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I remember you got into this thing where you were using a bunch of different amps.
Yeah, I started out using a Super Reverb.
I'm talking about, like, at the same time.
Yeah, I hook up a Super Reverb to a Concert amp, to a Premier amp, to a Twin. All these old Fenders, you know.
Right, like a little stack of, old Fenders.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was a bitchin' sound. It was a good sound. Remember when Fenders were Econo?
Yeah.
They didn't cost... Nobody wanted them.
I bought my Super Reverb for like $200.
$200?
Yeah.
Super Reverbs now are like... Buku. That's a trip about that. So you got a new version of the Outcast now.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us about that. Who's on guitar and drums?
Well, bassist, I'm playing with April.
I mean bass and drums.
Yeah, yeah. April, Katie.
Randy Stanola's probably on guitar.
Yeah.
Good guess.
No, I'm playing on bass with me now with April, Katie, and on drums is Matt Lasky.
Okay.
Both from San Pedro.
Both Pedro guys.
Yeah.
Did you ever do a situation with two guitars? No.
No,
you've
never.
You've always been a man alone on the guitar.
Yeah.
Okay. And how long now you've been playing with these guys?
Well, I was playing with Paul O'Rourke. He lives in Spain.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I should tell you, the Alligats actually came around, like a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
And it was called, but it was actually called Alligats
S.O.B.
S.O.B.
Yeah.
Which stood for each dude in the band.
Last name,
right?
Yeah.
So, but then now that version's gone with the two new people.
Yeah, because Paula, she actually, that's where her home is.
Right.
She just comes out here, but she went, she's in Spain, right? In Barcelona, actually.
And, Catalonia. Mm. She had a problem with
Booker Leg
slipping at Harold's on beer on the deck.
While
they were playing. Broke her leg.
Her ankle, yeah, shattered.
Her ankle. And then infected.
Yeah, she had to get like, first of all, they put like, what do you call it? Metal plates in it, and it got infected. And that was over 3 months ago, and she's still on crutches.
Heal up there in Barcelona.
Yeah.
And you just started some doing gigs with the guys, right?
Yeah, I got
to play the Redwood.
Show at the Redwood, yeah.
Yeah. Was that the first gig with both of them?
Yeah, both of them together, yeah.
Did you dig it?
I gotta see it.
When's the next gig?
July 12th at the Observatory in Santa Ana with the Smut Peddlers.
At July 12th, people? Where?
Observatory in Santa Ana.
The Observatory in Orange County.
Yeah,
right,
Santa Ana,
right. I played it. It was called the Galaxy.
A bunch of names.
Yeah. It's in a strip mall kind of thing. I got to play with Fear last time I played them, second man. Well, yeah, I gotta check it out. Except July 12th, I'm in New York City making an album with Mel's Klein.
Well, we'll be playing after that.
Okay. Yeah, and Greg from the Deerhoof, Nick Reinhardt from
Turner Heads.
Look, if some young people—well, these guys are young in the new version of the Alicant. If they asked you for advice in this music racket, what would you give? Tell them.
Well, probably not very good advice, but I'd say always do. Try and make music that you like, and it's original. And if you fail as a career, at least you got something, you know. Whereas if you try and make pop music that you think is going to sell records, and it doesn't, and you made music you didn't like, then you got nothing.
Right, that makes great sense. People, Randy's been around, in fact, I think that's excellent advice. I have to remember that to tell people when they ask me. Do what you feel, right?
Yeah.
Don't try to,
manipulate.
Musical integrity.
Musical integrity.
Yeah, musical integrity. Great thing. With this new version of the Alicats, is there new songs?
Well, the first show we just did the old songs.
Yeah.
And we're working on a couple new
songs. You're going to write songs specifically for these cats?
Yeah, a couple new songs we're going to do for the next show, yeah.
And when you came back with the new versions, why didn't you call them the Zarkons?
Well, because we were doing more Alicat songs than Zarkon songs. We did a couple of Zarkon songs.
Really?
But we did more Alicat songs. So.
And you told me this young guy, the drummer man, he knew all the tunes?
Yeah. He already knew them when we played them the first time.
Bitchy.
Yeah.
Very bitchy.
He had all our records and stuff.
Cool.
Randy, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, great to have you.
Love Matt.
Very cool.
It's really special.
Oh, yeah, and let me make
you
a shout out.
Huge influence on me and D. Boone and the Minutemen.
Yeah.
Georgie, too, Doug Alicats. And it's so great that you're back with the new version.
Yeah, the way I met April was pretty amazing, too, because I was outside Harold's.
Yeah.
And
Harold's is just kind of here in
Peter. And I guess their birthday was in April. She go, no, it's in March. I go, March when? She goes, March 27th. That's my birthday. And then she says she's from Fargo, North Dakota. She lived there for 7 years. Well, I lived in Fargo, North Dakota for 7 years,
Trip.
Connections. Thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Yeah, great to have you.
You know, and you're going to record with these cats, right?
Yeah, well, hopefully soon.
As soon as you do, flow some tunes so we can play on the show.
Cool.
Oh, and thanks, too, for blowing it out during the
spring. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Good people. June 15th, 2014 edition of the Watt for Pedro show. Thanks so much, Brother Man, for your always situating in the bed. Good luck in Hawaii.
Aloha.
When mahalo. You come back home?
I'll be back like about July 10th.
July 10th.
June. Yeah, July 10th.
Right. People, tomorrow's the Blooms Day.
Yeah.
And Juneteenth is coming
right on. Happy birthday, Raymond.
And Raymond's B-Day, too. Huh. Thanks again. Once more, Randy Spinola.
Hey.
Yeah.
Robin. People, keep your powder dry.
Yeah.